You all right? My name's Paul, I've got autism, and I make random videos based on my version of autism and the way my head works, and I stick the videos on the internet just in case you fancy giving them a watch. And I hope you're doing all right. Anyway, been a while. Again, I apologise, life does like to get in the way. But I do want to talk about reasonable adjustments, and I want to talk about why they're needed. And I want to talk about where they come from. And then I want to share my reasonable adjustments that I have in my workplace today. Just to give you an example of what they are and why I ask for them. But before I do, just give you a little catch up about what's been going on. My car is broken. And every 2 weeks it ends up back at the garage for something else to be replaced. They replace it. I drive around for a couple of weeks. And then the engine warning light comes on, take it back to the garage, they replace something else. And it's been ongoing and costing me a fortune. And they've just sent me a bill again for £2,000. So I've said no. So it's very simple here. All the parts I've paid to replace come before the part you've asked me to now replace. So if this was always faulty, this is why the light keeps coming on. This is the root cause of all the issues. So everything I've paid to replace probably didn't need to be replaced at all. So no, I want my money back. And I'll pay then for this part to be replaced. I also want to raise an official dispute. And I'm also going to get legal advice. And you know what happened? They tried to recall their email because it disappeared out of my inbox. But the silly cabbages, do you know what they didn't realise? I'd responded to them, so it's still in my sent items. So I've got my evidence, which is racking up nicely, but I just can't stand exploitation. I can't stand it. It's horrible, yet more horrible traits of the human condition. So that's really frustrating, having to go through that, you know, getting halfway across the country and then your engine warning light comes on. Makes you panic, makes you worry, because you just want to be back home and you feel you're going to get stranded. Safe space feels like a million miles away. And then there's no confidence driving a car where an engine warning light just keeps coming on. So that shouldn't happen, but it's what's going on at the minute. Also my cat, my little best mate, has had some bad news. Or I've had bad news, not the cat. Can't speak English. And he's got a tumour growing on his pituitary gland. So he's twice the weight that he was. And there's an operation which is £7,000, but it might not do anything. It's like, well, I haven't got £7,000. I'd get a loan out for the cat if it prolonged his life because it was going to be a successful surgery, but I can't really take that chance when they go, it might work, might not work, I don't know. So that's not really useful. He's on his last life, unfortunately, and he might not last too long. So he might have to go on to more of a palliative treatment program where he just goes once a month to be weighed, have his bloods taken, keep an eye out for him mentally going downhill or developing diabetes, which is one of the first signs of his gigantism. And, you know, it's sad, but it's life, unfortunately, you know, life with bad mechanics, life with the upcoming loss of pets. It's part and parcel, isn't it? But it's still very sad, you know, because he's my best mate. He always gets on me every night as a cuddle, drools all over me, and then goes and sleeps in the corner and snores. But anyway, I want to talk about reasonable adjustments in the workplace because it really winds me up that employers, a lot of them, just don't consider them. And I get very, very bothered by fake. I really do. Which I know might be hypocritical coming from a guy who masks completely all the time when he leaves his front door for the value of everyone else. But that's the difference. I might be masking, but it's for other people to feel all right. I don't pretend to be a nice guy and then in private, I'm horrible. That's not the way it works. Whereas it does for employers, unfortunately. So there's many emails that I've received with people going, what's the best way of trying to ask my boss for reasonable adjustments? Or I asked my boss for reasonable adjustments and they denied my reasonable adjustments. What can I now do? And it annoys me, not the people emailing. What annoys me is the familiarity of everybody's story. It's so rare to hear from someone who would go, I asked for reasonable adjustments in my workplace. The employer was great. And I now have them and it's made my job easier, you know, as it should have been in the first place. It's that rare. I've never had that email. But I've had plenty where people have said, I asked for them. Now they're driving me out of work. They're making my job harder. They've relocated me. They've put me on a different type of work. You know, I'm now expected to do twice as much. And it's like a punishment for dare raising that you just want something to make your job easier. And you've got to ask yourself the question, why do they feel they've got to do that? What's wrong? And this is a quote which I've made up, but it's very, very accurate. And that is, the only time we don't get reasonable adjustments is when we deal with someone who is unreasonable. Facts. So what I want to do is explain reasonable adjustments, explain ultimately what it means, because I'll keep saying them two same words over and over again. I want to explain the pattern in how you go about asking for them and then tell you things to consider. But I also want to share with you my reasonable adjustments to show you how many I have, why they were considered, and that I actually have them. And what you need to know is I haven't got them because of who I am, the job I do, the manager I work for, or the name above the door. I've got them because they are reasonable adjustments. Okay, so I'll do the explanation of what reasonable adjustments are in this video, and then I'll follow this one up with my reasonable adjustments, hopefully in quick succession. So I'll try and record both before I release them. So, reasonable adjustments. I'm not saying they're easy to get. If I look at my last three employers before the people I work for now, I left each place because of reasonable adjustments and terrible management, but reasonable adjustments, I was never confident. I was never confident enough to ask for them. And when I did and they were denied, I just accepted that. It was like, okay, so sorry to ask. I'm so sorry to bother you with this. You know, oh, I hope I can crack on with my job, sir. You know, that's kind of how I felt. I was so timid towards it. But that's the joy of time and experience and being knocked back 1,000 times. You can only be knocked back, so many times before you start fighting back. And now I've got the fight, you know. So with my employer, if they didn't give me reasonable adjustments, and trust me, I've considered mine very well, and I'll share them with you, as I've said, if they'd have said no, they'd have gone to court. It really is as simple as that. I am not working for completely their benefit and getting nothing in return. No, I'll do the job you want me to do. Not a problem, but make it fair. That's all I ask. So now I have the fight. That's probably why I've got them. But I will explain in that second video, I promise. So I'm going to say something now that a lot of people might not like, but unfortunately for those, it's the truth and it's fact. And that is, you need an official diagnosis of autism for reasonable adjustments to be considered. Because the Equality Act, which is where we can ask for reasonable adjustments, the Equality Act doesn't account for self-diagnosed autism. So if you went to your employer as a self-diagnosed autistic person and said, right, I'm autistic, these are things which I feel would be reasonable to adjust, they can say, well, that's great. Off you pop, go get yourself an official diagnosis of autism. They're well within their power to do that or just deny you at face value. You know, and you could end up with a great employer who will consider your self-diagnosis, but I'm just saying on general, legally, they don't have to. So just always bear that in mind. England and Wales, which is who I'm talking to, because we share the same legislation, and I obviously know mine for the country I live in. Hopefully there's something similar around the world, wherever you are, but I don't know. But just know this, just because it exists, it doesn't mean it's an easy process. not by a long shot. Because like I've said, you know, the only time we don't get reasonable adjustments is when we deal with someone unreasonable. And from the emails I get, nearly every employer appears to be unreasonable. But a couple of things to remember, the sort of main headers that I'll tell you for reasonable adjustments when you're putting your list together is the whole point of reasonable. It means that it cannot be at a substantial cost to the employer. So let's say you hate the morning commute to work because of traffic, busyness, traffic jams, beeping, smog, whatever. You can't say to your employer, is there any way I can get a helicopter to come and pick me up? You know, I'll parachute in so it doesn't have to land. Can I have that? Because that'll get me here stress-free. Because they'll say, no, don't be so stupid, because the cost of a helicopter and a pilot will dwarf your wages and we might as well lose your role and outsource your job. It'd make it cheaper for us than getting a helicopter. They're well within the right to deny that one. But if you worked in a busy office environment, where you don't answer phones, you don't customer face. You know, you might work in accounts, for example. You might do data entry. You might even work in a catering kitchen. I don't know. But you can ask for those ear defenders, noise cancelling headphones, because drowning out the rabble of the background might benefit you. They can't deny a cost like that because it's not substantial, it's petty cash amounts to get a £25 pair of ear defenders. Hopefully the company won't go bankrupt off 25 quid, but they would, you know, 3.5 million quid for a decent helicopter and a pilot, wouldn't they? So you've always got to consider the cost value. You know, you can't say the company car you gave me is uncomfortable. Can I have a Maserati or a Maybach? They'll say, don't be so stupid. No, you cannot. So just know it always has to be a commensurate value. You can't ask for a ridiculous change. You've also got to consider the people you work with. You've got to consider their workload. So you can't take from theirs and give to theirs. You know, what they do has to remain the same. What you do can't impact anyone in any way, shape, or form. It can't impact their work hours, where they work. It can't impact their annual leave. Nothing. So reasonable adjustments have to be solely for you, but not impact anyone else at all, and not impact the core value of the job. And what I mean by a core value is that, like McDonald's, there's a core value, isn't there? They have to be there at the times that they're expected to do the job that is needed for everybody else to benefit from what they do. You can't put your hours off. You can't not show up and work from home. Doesn't work. You have to be there to do the core value of that job between those hours. It's an absolute must. So that won't shift. You'll never get a reasonable adjustment. You can ask for a different shift pattern, but you still got to be there and you still got to do it. You know, so you've got to consider that. Other people's workloads cannot be affected by what you need, but you've also got to be able to do your job. And if you gave 100% before, after your adjustment, you've still got to be able to give 100%. You're not allowed to water down your workload. So there's some main headers, because the purpose of a reasonable adjustment is to rebalance. So if we think of non-autistic versus autistic, what will happen on a seesaw is it will start getting heavily weighed on the autism side. The things that might not affect non-autistic people, such as sensory imbalance. So like when I was younger, I used to get the bus and the bus stunk, the air conditioning stunk. People would smell more in the morning of deodorant, of smoke, because they just finished a cigarette before they jumped on a bus and then it permeates through the bus. You know, they'll smell more of perfumes, aftershaves, all sorts. And for me, that used to drive me absolutely crazy in the morning. And when I got off the bus, I was already stressed, you know, so if I could have avoided getting the bus at that time when it was the busiest time, that would have helped reduce that balance, the imbalance, to give me back the power I needed for other workers. And when I look back at some of the work, there was absolutely no reason why I couldn't have tweaked my hours from 9 to 5 to 10 to 6. No reason at all why I couldn't have done that, because the job I was doing at the time did not have a core value to it. I could have been there at 3 in the morning and done the job. You know, and if I'd have known, I would have asked. So like I say, the reasonable adjustment is to give you balance with everyone else and remove the stresses that other people don't feel. That's why it's an adjustment. And if you do that, if you think of reasonable adjustments where they don't impact the finance substantially, where it doesn't impede or affect other people's work, and you can still continue to do the job you do, then they can't be denied legally. Okay? And I get it. Like I've said 1,000 times before, I'll only ever speak for me, my perspective, but I'm talking legally now. And I know it's much easier to say than it is to do, because I've been through it 4 times. It's only this time that I've got the strength to fight back, you know, because now I think I know more than I did back then. It's the importance of experience, isn't it? But they cannot be denied legally. So there is a pattern that I tell people to follow, okay? And that is, the first part of the pattern is to write down what you feel you need. You know, don't mention it to work. Don't talk to anyone else about it. Don't raise it in a workplace setting. But you just consider the job you do. Think about what you do. Think about the stresses that are caused, which other people don't get stressed over. And then ask yourself the question, what could I do for me to benefit, to bring myself back on par? What can I do? What can I ask for? Is there anything I can change now without asking? But what can I then do if there's nothing else we can do and I'm still feeling disadvantaged? And then you need to create. You need to start putting down your reasonable adjustments, and you need to say what you need, why you need it, the benefit it'll bring, and the negative it'll bring if you carry on doing it the way you are. Once you've pooled all that together, considering everybody, considering the cost, considering the workload, then you approach your line manager, because let's say you had a late autism diagnosis like I did. You also have to change that anyway. You've got to go in and say, "Whoop, been diagnosed with autism. Can we change my medical questionnaire, please, to reflect accurately?" And while we're at it, I do need to talk to you about reasonable adjustments. You know, so can we get a bit of time together? Just a quick chat to make sure we're on the same page. You know, and that's where you find that you might not have considered something that needed considering. Happens all the time. That happened with me while I was putting mine together. I had a chat with my line manager and he said, "Oh, you can't do that. You might need to revise that one," which I did. So you put something together that will work for you. And then after that informal discussion, that's where it needs followed up with a formal documented discussion. And you might have someone from HR there. It might just be between you and your boss. It might be with you, your boss, someone from HR and a representative for you for a bit of confidence. But if you've considered it, if you have made sure they are reasonable, there's no reason they can be denied. Okay? But you may still get denied. So what you do anyway, whether you get, you know, the good answers or the bad answers, you always follow it up with an email. And that's where your evidence starts, because unfortunately you have to treat this as if the answer's going to be no, they're going to ignore you, and they're going to make you work harder. You have to treat it as if everybody is going to be unreasonable. It's like I'll always say, the only time you don't get reasonable adjustments is when you deal with someone unreasonable. So you've got to document everything chronologically. So after your informal meeting, you send an email to your boss. After our discussion, the below points, you know, was sort of the outcome. Can we now make the reasonable adjustment request formal? When you go into the meeting and if they agree or they don't, you follow up with an email. "Thank you for your time. The below points were discussed. These were the outcomes. However, this is not satisfactory and we need to find a solution." Because all you're going to do is build. You're just building a legal case to present if you get denied. Because if you get denied and they start then making your job harder and you go off with stress because of what they've done, that's still part of an ongoing case that you can then present to a court chronologically. And I know it's horrible to have to think and operate as if you're going to take an employer to court, but there's a lot of unreasonable employers out there. There's so much fake out there. There are people who pretend that they care and they're interested and they want the best for your well-being. And then behind closed doors, privately, they're horrible. That shouldn't be a thing, but unfortunately, it's part of a human condition for a lot of people. And you've got to make sure that if that's the type of person you work for, that you're not the one who gets disadvantaged just because they're a cabbage. You know, so another thing to remember, actually, as I remember, is HR. They're not the ones who say yes and no. Okay. It has to be your line manager. So if your line manager agrees to your reasonable adjustments and HR deny them, that's not right. That's not the process. They're not for that. They are there to rubber stamp what has been agreed to make it official. They're not there to deny or accept your reasonable adjustments. Just know that, because I had a bit of an issue with that. But I'll get to that in the other video. So just to sort of recap, things to remember, things to consider, is you need to know why you need them. Because you're in your head, other people are not. So if you just give bullet point answers, that's not an explanation. And I know you shouldn't need to overly explain, but sometimes overly explaining is more evidence for your file, for your chronological evidence file that you always follow up in an email. By putting the detail down, it helps other people understand. So just be articulate as to what you need and why you need it. Just make that very important for everything you do by, as I've said, remembering the cost, the impact to others, okay? And the impact on your day-to-day role. Note the benefit it will bring if you get them against each of the reasonable adjustments you ask for, because you don't need to just put one down. You can have as many as you want. Some people just put one or two things down. I've got about 11 for me. Okay. So note the benefit it'll bring versus the negativity that will happen. So if you've had a lot of sick days, a lot of random days off, and you're being challenged over your absences at work, they might be related. Because if you knew you took that day off because of burnout, because of stress, because of the demands, it's still part of the same thing. So gather your absence record where you've been to the doctors, needed a week off, needed 2 weeks off, where you've got it noted on a fit note for stress at work. Gather it all up and include it in your evidence and say that in your negative section of, if I don't get it, this will continue. It might get worse. I'll end up getting disciplined and neither of us want that. I just want to do my job. Go into it as if the answer's always going to be no. So just always be prepared for the worst, but don't let it stress you. Just go into it going, they're going to say no, but I'm going to push forward with it anyway because I'm allowed. Okay? Because what you've got to do is evidence that you tried. That's the important thing. You've got to evidence that you tried. If you go to court and go, I didn't get my reasonable adjustments, but there is not conclusive evidence that you spoke to the people who you needed to speak to with everything I've said, by proving why you need what you need and it doesn't impact work, the work, other workers or cost, and it would benefit you, and they still deny you, that's where your case comes from, okay? They need to provide evidence as to why they've denied your requests. They need to provide evidence. So if they don't, they'll be letting themselves down when it does go to court, which is where you'll ultimately end up. But all of this, just remember, it's not to take an employer to court. It's to take a bad employer to court for not doing their legally bound duties under the Equality Act. It's not personal. It's just they're going to impact you personally if they don't do it. Because whether they provide the evidence or they don't, the whole point is it will be classed as disability discrimination. And I know that might seem like a big deal, but it is. Because we are impacted because of the word disability, which I have a tough time dealing with. I have to admit, I prefer to say I'm different than disabled, but see me on a bad day and tell me I'm not. That's the only way I'll put it. large employers will have in-house standards and values. Large employers will have policies and procedures based around these types of things. So make sure you consult them if you do work for someone like that. And then you will be able to tie in the company values. So if your company values equality, and you know, then you'll be able to go ahead and read their value on equality and go, right, well, if you value equality, this is what I need to feel equal. And you can use their own policies against them. Again, I'm not saying this to take an employer to court or to be bad. I'm saying it because of the bad ones that exist. Because all you'll be doing if you have a good employer is you'll just have been doing it to the letter and correct. That's it. You know, and if you work for a small employer and they have nothing to do with equality and they don't have these policies and they don't have any of this considered, they don't have tailored adjustment plans, they don't have reasonable adjustment policies, reasonable accommodation requests, find a new employer, because you're not going to get far with them. I promise you, I've worked for one and it was a disaster. So all I'm saying as a bottom line is you're not asking for a reasonable adjustment because you just fancy it. You're asking for it to give you that rebalance, to put you on par with everybody else. Don't ask for things at a substantial cost to the employer. Don't ask for things that imbalance your job in respect to how much effort you give. Don't try and palm off parts of your work to other people because they cause you the most stress, because you can either do the job or you can't. Like, all of my requests don't actually affect my day-to-day job description. They just affect everything else that goes with it. And because I've always said, autistic people can do the job. It's the fluff around it that impacts us the most. Or it's the way I feel, and I can obviously only ever speak for me, but how problematic your employer is doesn't impact this process. If they sack you outright because you dared ask for a reasonable adjustment, you can still take them to court for it, because they can't just do that. If they want to make your work harder because you asked for it, let them. Document everything. Document what you do. Keep time in motion examples of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis now versus when you ask, and watch the difference of work if they try to impact you negatively. Gather your evidence, because what will happen, this is what's crazy. This is the best part, and it's called karma. There's not many laws in the UK that are decent for the victim, but this is a good one. If you provide all the evidence that you asked, you provided the evidence that of what the impact would be, you've shown you did everything you could and you knocked that ball out of your court and they did nothing or made your job harder, you take them to court, you will win, you will get a payout, and then you go back to work in the same place and you get all your reasonable adjustments. If you do it correctly, that's what happens. So it does benefit you. And then imagine them trying to enact a disciplinary procedure after that. They'll be on eggshells. So it impacts terrible employers. And then all you did for good employers was follow the rule to the letter. So if you're an employer and this bothered you, you're probably a bad employer. If you're an employer and you watch this and you were like, well, you can't turn your nose up at a reasonable request, then fair enough. But it's important that autistic people who want to work go into the workplace and feel like they can do the job without being discriminated against. And this is just the way to do it. But anyway, that's this video done. I hope it helped. I hope it made sense. I'll do part two to talk about my workplace reasonable adjustments. But until then, my friends, thank you very much for watching, and keep smiling.